Cause that's the bottom line.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tuesday, February 21st edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. On today's show, Kentucky travels to Missouri in the old-fashioned trap game. More backlash from the DeMarcus Cousins trade to the Pelicans. What the latest number crunchers have to say about Kentucky's chances in the NCAA tournament. We found the European version of Pete Rose. We wonder why the Reds are considering doing something that they shouldn't even think twice about doing. And we have one college basketball game that we like tonight, hoping to continue our red hot February. So let's go.
You are listening live.
Kentucky and Missouri, live from Columbia, MO. Tonight, 9 o'clock Eastern. Line started 16.5 in favor of Missouri. Right now, you can get it some places at 16, so line coming down just a little, but I don't see it moving a point or two either way before the game starts tonight. We know about Kentucky, but what about Missouri? 7-19 overall, 2-12 in the SEC, but those two wins are at home against Vanderbilt and Arkansas. So it's not like they're completely helpless in the conference. But then again, before the conference season started, they lost home games to North Carolina Central, Eastern Illinois, and Lipscomb. And no, not former Major League pitcher Big Daddy Lipscomb. I'm talking about Lipscomb College. In the last couple of weeks, we have actually gone on Missouri, getting points in SEC games a couple of times, and both of those times we won. Why? Public perception right now is so heavily against Missouri. Because yes, they're a terrible team. They're 7-19. But if you invest on them out in Las Vegas, they're 10-11 against the spread. So it's not terrible. And you can pick and choose your spots to invest in Missouri like we've done the last few weeks. By contrast, Kentucky against the number out in Las Vegas, 14 up, 13 down. If you had bet $1 on Kentucky every game this season out in Las Vegas, you'd be down 30 cents for the season. But Missouri has covered four of their last five games, mainly because anytime you hear anyone talk about Missouri basketball, what do you hear? They're terrible. They're awful. Why in God's name would anyone bet on them? When you hear that about a team, that's when you want to go on that team. And that's why they're almost 500 against the spread. But then again, Kentucky, the last 12 games against the spread, 3 up, 9 down. That's not good. So Missouri's covered four out of their last five. Kentucky's not covered 9 of their last 12. Since joining the SEC in 2013, Missouri 0-5 against Kentucky, and four of those weren't even close. Missouri's best player is named Jordan Barnett. He is number 21. He is a transfer from Texas. He averages 12.5 points and 6.3 rebounds a game. Maybe, just maybe, Missouri has a chance. Of their top 11 scorers, one of them is a senior, one of them is a junior. So maybe this team has potential going forward. But like Jim Valvano said when he was applying for a job at Bucknell, they had won one game the previous season, but their selling point was that all their players were coming back. It's not always a good thing to have returning players. But of course, the big thing we look at when it comes to Missouri basketball and why they can't win on a consistent basis, other than the fact that Frank Haith, their former coach, cheated his butt off while he was there, is the fact that their current coach's name is a girl's name, Kim Anderson. How can you win with a girl's first name as coach? Just saying. Efficiency-wise, Missouri, number 261 in the nation in offense, 74 in defense. They can't shoot to save their lives. They're in the bottom 50 in America in field goal percentage, both from three-point land and two-point land. So they can't shoot to save their lives. But like most downtrodden teams in the SEC, this is Missouri's Super Bowl. So expect all the tricks to be pulled tonight by Missouri. 16-point number out in the desert. We'll call this one 84-69, which means Missouri would be covering, but it also means we're not going to bet on this game out in Las Vegas. You are on your own in terms of this game, but if you stick a water pistol to my head, we'd take Missouri the points. That being said, we're not with you or against you. We will pass and just watch this game tonight. But this is the old proverbial trap game for Kentucky. coming off four straight victories, including a very emotional win Saturday against Georgia, and then this coming Saturday, a big game, basically for the SEC championship, against Florida. What's in the middle? A road game at lowly little Missouri. So tonight might prove where this team is emotionally, as well as on the court. But if you're really watching this game tonight between Kentucky and Missouri, the one thing I will look at, defense. If you watch that game against Georgia on Saturday, Georgia literally had their way down low with Kentucky. They did in Lexington too. We even talked about that, but they truly did against Kentucky on Saturday. If you see this Jordan Barnett guy putting up 20 and 10, even if Kentucky wins, there's still reason to worry. Inside defense. That's a big issue for Kentucky right now, since they only have one guy to play defense in the paint, basically. Kentucky big tonight. Maybe not big enough for the people out in the desert, but still, they'll win this game. If not, look out.
It's a trap.
Chad Ford of ESPN had his latest NBA mock draft, and now there are only two Kentucky players projected to be in the first round, Malik Monk at number 4, De'Aaron Fox at number 10. No sign of Bam Adebayo or anybody else from UK.
Later, he gets the rebound, passes it to the man, shoots it, and boom goes the dynamite.
Other college basketball on Monday night. West Virginia won, but their coach almost died. Bob Huggins collapsed right before halftime last night, basically scaring people to death. And we've even mentioned on this show how he doesn't look good. He's wearing those big pullovers, and he's just kind of sloppy. We've mentioned how he doesn't look very good right now, so last night wasn't exactly shocking. But West Virginia, yet another sabermetric darling that we'll be talking about when we go over bracketology in just a minute. The biggest game last night that caught my eye, unranked Miami travels to Virginia and beats Virginia on their home court. You talk about a team that's a sabermetric darling. Even as of today, Virginia is a top 10 team across the board in terms of ESPN BPI, Ken Pomeroy, Jeff Sagarin. Virginia is still a top 10 team. This team may not be in the AP poll at all next week after losing this one. A month ago, I was thinking this team might be way overrated going into the tournament, like they have been the last few years. But this year, for once, they might be way underrated going into the tournament. Virginia now creating some opportunity for investors out there if you believe in the numbers. And here on the bottom line, we always believe in the numbers. So keep losing a game here and there, Virginia. More value come tournament time. By the way, how bad is it for Virginia in the ACC now? A few weeks ago, they were among the leaders. Now they sit at 8-7 in the ACC. Virginia Tech actually has a better record now than Virginia does. Think about that for a minute.
Now, do you think this show is educational?
Yes, it'll drive people to read books.
On Sunday, Syracuse went to Georgia Tech, and Georgia Tech pulled out a win, actually putting them into the tournament, according to Joe Lenardi. But a Syracuse fan was not very happy with what happened. And in fact, he was so unhappy that this fan called Josh Pastner, the coach of Georgia Tech, and left him a voicemail voicing his displeasure with the fans at Georgia Tech and how they chanted airball to one of the Syracuse players all night long after he shot an airball early in the game. So what does Josh Pastner do? He calls the fan back. If you're a fan and you're calling the other team's coach, you've got some nerve. By the way, can you see a Kentucky fan calling Rick Pitino about something like this? And vice versa, could you see a Louisville fan calling Calipari over something like this? I'll give Josh Pastner credit. Nobody follows Georgia Tech basketball in Atlanta, I can promise you that. So he's got a lot more time on his hands than most college coaches at Power 5 schools. But I'll give him credit for calling this fan back, although that fan was horribly misguided and myopic by calling the coach of another team demanding an apology. Some people need lives, and if you're calling the other team's coaches, you need a life, brother.
What kind of show would you call that?
Frankly, I'd call it quits. Quits! Quits!
Joe Lenardi's latest bracketology has come out, and what we did here on the bottom line, we plugged in the numbers of our good friends at Ken Pomeroy, ESPN BPI, and Jeff Sagarin. We plugged in those numbers according to Joe Lenardi's latest bracketology, and we came up with a Final Eight, Final Four, and a national champion. And for you Kentucky fans out there, be ready to be disappointed. In the ESPN BPI, Kentucky doesn't get out of the Sweet 16, losing to Louisville. In the Ken Pomeroy rankings, although Kentucky is ranked 7 in those rankings, Kentucky doesn't make it out of the Sweet 16, again, losing to Louisville. However, Kentucky fans should embrace Jeff Sagarin. Kentucky is ranked number 4 in the Jeff Sagarin ratings, and in those ratings, Kentucky makes the Final Four, defeating both Louisville and Villanova to make the Final Four before losing to North Carolina. It's incredible. In these three rating systems, ESPN BPI has Villanova over Gonzaga to win the championship. Ken Pomeroy has Gonzaga over Villanova to win the championship. And Jeff Sagarin has Gonzaga over North Carolina to win the championship. So if you follow numbers, apparently you've got Gonzaga going a long way. I would love to pick Ken Pomeroy's mind right now and ask him, sir, I know you have Gonzaga head and shoulders above everybody else in your ratings, but do you honestly believe Gonzaga will win the national championship? I would love to ask him that, because I remember in 2013, he had Florida as his number one team winning the national championship. And I remember hearing him say, or I read somewhere, that he didn't think Florida was going to win, although he had Florida number one on his list. My thing is, if you have your own numbers and you put all these together, and then you don't even believe your own numbers, then those numbers aren't so great after all, are they? But Ken Pomeroy also wrote on his blog about how Gonzaga is beating conference opponents worse than any team in any season this century. In fact, of the top 12 seasons in this century, Gonzaga has 4 of the top 12 in terms of margin of victory within their conference. But if you look at that list, there's only one Power 5 team on that whole list, and that's Duke. Way back at the beginning of the century when they went 16-0 in the ACC and averaged a 24.3 margin of victory. So Gonzaga, as the headline Pomeroy said, is smashing the West Coast Conference harder than it usually does. To me, that says one thing. Both Gonzaga is very good, and the West Coast Conference simply can't compete with Gonzaga. Because once is an accident, twice is a trend, but if you've got 4 of the top 12 years this century in margin of victory in conference, that's just reality. But then again, how many times has Gonzaga made the Final Four this century after being in the tournament literally every single year? Exactly. And by the way, speaking of Ken Pomeroy, no top 5 seed ranked lower than 100 in the Ken Pomeroy strength of schedule rankings has ever made even the Sweet 16, much less the Final Four. Gonzaga's current strength of schedule rating, 141. So according to that stat, Gonzaga, again, will not even make the Sweet 16. And believe me, with the line of cupcakes still ahead on Gonzaga's schedule, that strength of schedule number is not going up.
I'm going to see my lawyer.
Why?
I'm going to find out if you can sue a show for breach of taste.
The NBA still abuzz over the DeMarcus Cousins trade. Obviously, Sacramento horribly fleeced in this deal, getting a bunch of no-names, a couple of draft picks, and Buddy Hield, who apparently the Sacramento owner thinks Buddy Hield can shoot better than Steph Curry. How do these owners get to own these teams in the first place? That's crazy talk. But anyway, by the way, DeMarcus Cousins has more three-pointers made this year than Buddy Hield. Look it up. This trade was so bad, if you tried to put it into the video game NBA 2K17, they won't let you make that trade because it's so lopsided and unrealistic. But of course, the buzz around here in Lexington, when is Coach Cal? When is he leaving Lexington to go to New Orleans to coach the Pelicans? Of course, he squashed that idea really quick, but he also said, you know what? Cousins and Anthony Davis, they really want to win. Really want to win, huh? Why, heck, I want to win too. Doesn't mean I'm going to go win anything. But of course, Sacramento, depending on who you talk to with Sacramento, is depending on how the Kings feel about the trade. If you ask their general manager, the Marlboro man himself, Vlade Dade, he likes to party divotch, he said he had a better trade a couple of days ago. We don't know what that is yet. There apparently was a trade with the Lakers involving Brandon Ingram involved. Who knows what happened with that? But Sacramento, let's hope that they enjoy those magic beans that they got. Their play-by-play announcer, Grant Napier, who's been doing Kings games ever since they moved from Kansas City to Sacramento back in the 80s. He was thrilled that Cousins was leaving town, saying that a cloud had been lifted over the entire organization. That's your play-by-play guy doing that, not some random fan. How could you expect this from anyone other than the Kings? This is a team that in 2002 had the best team in the NBA. They had Chris Webber, White Chocolate Jason Williams, Peja Stojakovic, Vlade Divac was still playing, Doug Christie was good. They had good bench players, Bobby Jackson, Scott Pollard, and they got absolutely screwed in the NBA playoffs against the Los Angeles Lakers. A series in which they were up 3-2, went to LA for game 6. And if you go YouTube that, you'll be shocked and appalled at how you see the referees absolutely cheating for the Lakers in that game. And you can sit there and tell me, make up this excuse and that excuse. Go back and watch that game. There have been so many documentaries on YouTube made about that one game. Game 6, 2002 Western Conference Finals. Somehow the Lakers escaped that game. And then, in Game 7, I haven't seen a bigger choke job in NBA history than Sacramento put up against the Lakers in Game 7 of that one. And after that, it was all over. And for the next 15 years, Sacramento has sucked. And including just in the last few years alone. Just think of this core they could have had. Cousins, Isaiah Thomas, who's now with Boston, averaging over 20 points a game, and he's even being considered as a top 5 MVP candidate. Hassan Whiteside, who right now with Miami is averaging 16.8 points and 14.5 rebounds after signing a huge contract in the offseason. And they at one time had Tyreek Evans. They got him back in this trade, but not after he's injured and not nearly the player he was when he was with Sacramento. That's an extremely impressive core group that Sacramento just pissed away. And of course, they talk about character and how you need to have great character in the NBA. And that's why the Kings got rid of him, and they couldn't wait to get rid of Cousins, because it's all about character. Only good character teams win in the NBA. Oh, really? Sacramento's all about character, huh? Look at their team last year. Rajon Rondo was on that team. He was suspended for yelling gay slurs during games. They signed Ty Lawson last year. He's only been arrested 4 times. Darren Collison was suspended 8 games earlier this season for conduct. And yet they traded DeMarcus Cousins, their best player. Apparently a couple of weeks ago, right after Sacramento beat Golden State, he yelled F Golden State to all the fans in Sacramento. But of course, we know what the F word really is. There are reasons in sports why certain franchises are always at the top and others are always at the bottom. The Sacramento Kings are Exhibit A.
And here they come over the midcourt line. Shapow! He turns it over in crosstown traffic.
But hold on, it looks like he's going to rob the bank shop.
Dean Brett is a Scottish soccer player who plays for Cowdenbeath. And I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that name completely. Cowdenbeath. Counted Beth, I don't know. And he was suspended yesterday by admitting that he had broken the rules and bet on football, or as we call it, soccer, in his own country. Now, this kid is 24 years old, and according to reports, he has made 2,787 bets on soccer on games in his own league. In fact, he has bet against his own team 8 times. 5 of those, he actually won the bet. Even Pete Rose, when he was gambling his butt off when he was manager of the Reds, he would bet on the Reds, but they never got him betting against the Reds. First of all, Pete would never have done that. But it also was a heads up to the bookmakers. If Pete's not betting on his own team tonight, maybe he thinks they're not going to win. But if Pete is betting on the Reds, ooh, we better stay off and not bet against him. But if you read Dean Brett's Twitter, he seems to think this will just go away and no, it's no big deal. Saying, oh, I hold my hands up. This is not acceptable for me over the years, and I do apologize. I've let everybody down. I'm a silly, silly laddie, but the lesson has been learned. I'll accept what's given to me and get on with it. I've had better times, but also had worse, so this won't stop me. No, it will stop you, sir. If you bet on your own team or against your own team in any league whatsoever in this world, you're done. If they let this guy play again anytime soon, Pete Rose just has more ammunition to go against Major League Baseball. 2,787 bets on your own league. Unbelievable.
Stay tuned for all the excitement of the world champion Cincinnati Reds. Reds Radio is produced solely by the broadcast department of the Cincinnati Reds Incorporated.
Reds spring training up and running. There's some buzz around the Reds that Brandon Phillips should have his number retired, his number 4. Why in God's name would you do that? We detailed last week, Brandon Phillips wasn't in his 11-year career, if you combine all his stats over the years, the best number I use when trying to evaluate a Major League Baseball player is OPS Plus. It is your on-base percentage plus your slugging percentage, and it's on a scale where 100 is exactly in the middle of a big and average player, and it's also adjusted to your home ballpark. So the average mediocre player has an OPS plus of 100. In 11 years with Cincinnati, Brandon Phillips' total OPS plus 99. And you're thinking about retiring this guy's number. By the way, Joey Votto, in 10 years with the Reds, his OPS plus 157. I'll guarantee you, Brandon Phillips gets his number retired before Joey Votto does, and it won't even be close. But Brandon Phillips should never have his number retired with the Reds, whereas Joey Votto should be in the Hall of Fame if you look at his numbers. But if Marty Brenneman or anybody else in the Cincinnati media has anything to do with it, Joey Votto would be gone yesterday, much less tomorrow.
Up your butt, Joe Boo.
Yo, bartender! Joe Boo needs a refill!
Other buzz in the Reds' spring training is Jumbo Diaz. The soon-to-be 33-year-old relief pitcher is fighting for a spot in the Reds' bullpen. Now, last year, Jumbo Diaz was part of that Reds' bullpen that early in the year was as bad as anything you could ever imagine. It's one thing the Reds' pitching staff was the worst in the history of Major League Baseball last year, but in the first half of the season, the Reds' bullpen was worse than anything in the history of mankind. But I think I figured out Jumbo Diaz and when he should be used by the Reds. In 2016, in the first half of the season, ERA 5.14. In April, his ERA was 5.40. In May, his ERA was 8.10. But then the second half of the season, his ERA 2.17. Huh, not bad. 2015, ERA in the first half of the season, 6.65. ERA the second half of the season, 2.65. Huh. And in Jumbo's first season, he didn't come up with the Reds until June. But his ERA the first half of the season was 4.32, and after the All-Star break, 3.08. So it's obvious what to do with Jumbo Diaz. Put him in the minor league somewhere until the All-Star break, and then bring him back up, because after the All-Star break, he's lights out. Before the All-Star break, he's garbage. The numbers tell the story, especially in Major League Baseball. If Jumbo Diaz is fighting to be on the roster, why don't you just let him sit in the minor leagues for a few months, then bring him back? Because history tells us he's terrible. There is a huge discrepancy between his first half performance and his second half performance. Now, you can make jokes about the fact that maybe he's put on too much weight in the offseason because he is a very big man. But the Reds would be much better off not starting the season with this guy in the bullpen and somehow getting him back down there by the 4th of July.
Top of the 6th, and rookie sensation Ricky Vaughn on the pitch now. You can close the book on Kelner.
Thank God.
Came out yesterday that former Cardinals pitching ace, supposed pitching ace, Rick Ankiel, who went on to be an outfielder for the Cardinals and Nationals for a long time, when he was pitching, he was so stressed out that he used to drink vodka before games, including a playoff game against Randy Johnson in 2001, in which he beat Randy Johnson. I remember seeing Rick Ankiel face the Braves in a playoff game in 2000, and this guy couldn't find the strike zone. He was throwing it to the backstop every third or fourth pitch. All this goes to show you is professional sports, much like a lot of other things in life, it's one thing to have the skill and the talent to do it, but you also have to have the right mindset to do it. There's a lot of things in life that all of us can do, but we just don't have the right mindset and mentality to do it. And if you're a major league pitcher, you can't go out drinking vodka before games because you're so stressed out. It might work once or twice, but eventually your demons will catch up with you. Rick Ankiel might have been one of the most talented pitchers that the Cardinals ever had. And if you look at his numbers, he was a really good pitcher in 1999 and 2000. And then it all went down the toilet immediately. And it went down the toilet so bad that he became an outfielder. And heck, one year as an outfielder for the Cardinals, he hit 25 home runs. So it's not like the kid did not have talent. He was a great baseball player. He just didn't have the mindset to live up to all those lofty expectations. But I'll give him credit. The guy made over $12 million in his career. He must have done something right.
I want winners.
Greed
is good.
Cash, cold, that's what I need.
And now with his picks for today's games, the man who's right 52% of the time, Smooth Jimmy Apollo.
Well, I don't know. Denver.
Woohoo! Denver, yeah!
Winning's one of those rare commodities on Earth that money cannot buy until you called me.
All right, it is time for our Mac Daddy Stogie picks. Over the weekend, we won one game and lost two, our first losing weekend in quite a while. However, we are not deterred. And I'm not talking about a poopy emoji. I'm talking about we are not disheartened in any way. For the college basketball season, our underdogs against the spread now at 27-12. That's 69.2%. And our upset specials, 21-12, 63.6%. So one bad weekend is not going to poo-poo an entire season of awesome. And we have one game tonight that we really like. In the Big Ten, Northwestern, sitting right now 20 up and 7 down. Could you ever have seen that for Northwestern? 20 wins and 7 losses. 9-5 in the Big Ten. Joe Lunardi's latest bracketology has Northwestern as an 8 seed. They traveled right down the road to play Illinois. Illinois sitting at 15-12, 5-9 in the Big Ten. And there's no NCAA tournament in their future unless they somehow win the Big Ten Conference Tournament. Northwestern, a 1.5-point favorite in this game. And in fact, 81% of the public money as of this taping has gone towards Northwestern. And why wouldn't we take Northwestern? They're the better team. They're going to make the tournament this year for the first time ever. And I do mean ever, which is a miracle in itself. So why are they only favored by 1.5? Illinois is terrible. I couldn't tell you the last time Illinois made the tournament. In fact, but Northwestern might be losing steam. They've lost 3 of their last 5 games straight up. Everybody points to that win at Wisconsin a couple of weeks ago as their watershed moment where they actually finally made the tournament. But that win at Wisconsin was surrounded by 2 losses before that and a loss after that. And included in those 3 losses, a home loss to Illinois. That was on February 7th. Illinois went to Northwestern and won by 7 on the road. So this is not a team in Illinois that doesn't think that they could beat Northwestern because they did 14 days ago. In fact, Illinois over last weekend went to Iowa, not exactly the 76 Indiana Hoosiers, but still, Illinois went and won on the road in Iowa over the weekend. So Illinois has their moments when they play well. Now they put up some stinkers, like a home loss to Penn State last week, but Illinois will show up for this game tonight, I can promise you. Northwestern, a good team against the spread this year, 15-9 against the number. Illinois, a big fat loser, 10-14. And what do we always like on this show? We like going with teams that have been lousy against the spread because those numbers always start to even out. So I'm getting a team at home, getting points. Northwestern may be feeling their oats a little bit. You can hear a lot of media sometimes talk about Northwestern has made the tournament. The public money all over Northwestern. Illinois has already defeated Northwestern just 2 weeks ago. This is an easy money game. Give us the Illini over Northwestern tonight. Illinois with the season sweep over Northwestern. We'll take them to win this game straight up. Illinois over Northwestern, your Mac Daddy Stogie of the night. And you can take that bad boy to the desert and smoke it.
All right, folks, this is the bottom line. Now listen, you know how some of your friends tell you there's no such thing as a sure thing? There's no locks. There's no guaranteed winners. Forget those people. You know what they are? They are losers.
And that does it for the Tuesday, February 21st edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. As always, we thank you so much for listening. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Bottom Line Lex. Email anytime, bottomlinelex@gmail.com, and follow us on Facebook, the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.